If you live on Oahu, you may have received a survey in the mail recently. It's part of an effort by the city to get feedback on the development plan for the urban core. The Department of Planning and Permitting just kicked off a week's worth of pop-up outreach events and plans more over the next year. There's also an online survey, too. We sat down with Kathy Sokugawa, the acting director of the city's Department of Planning and Permitting, to understand what's at stake.
The primary urban center, or as we plan is fond to use the acronym PUC, development plan, is a long-range regional plan, mostly centered around land use, for the area stretching from Kahala to Pearl City. So this is what we call the primary urban center, what other people know as urban Honolulu. And the plan goes out for at least 25 years and talking about, in general terms, what the land use pattern for the development should look like in the coming 2.5 decades. What would be the general areas of employment? What are the major public facilities that should be upgraded or constructed? How are we going to do with some of the major issues of the day, such as climate change and affordable housing?
So it's really a blueprint for growth.
Well, growth, and also to make sure that we keep what we feel is important, our natural resources, our healthy shoreline and ocean qualities, that sort of thing. We're not going to forget keeping what we need to keep.
Talk about the process and the message that you're trying to get out to the public.
We're wholeheartedly trying to engage as many people and many stakeholder groups as possible. For example, we are already completed a mail-in survey, so we have a representation of everybody in the community. As you know, sometimes we get a fairly narrow segment of the population who comes out to meetings. Not that they're not important, but we wanted to make sure that everybody had a piece of the puzzle in terms of what the community is thinking are the important issues and concerns of the day for the primary urban center. So we've engaged for a representative or scientific survey so that we have a good representation of all of our residents. But we're also availing ourselves or the public to a website which will have a dynamic set of white papers, information, tell us what you think. They will also be able to do the survey as well. And we are also having, as we said, we've scheduled 8 what we call pop-ups or short opportunities for the public to engage us, and we go to where they are. So we've gone to places as a variety as places as Fort Street Mall during the lunch hour, Pearl City Shopping Center. So different places where people are already gathering, and so we can find out from your average, you know, resident what's on their mind in terms of future growth for the primary urban center. We will also have fall speaker events. We've done some white paper on major issues such as housing, climate change, general population and growth. And then we hopefully will have a draft revision of the current plan, because there is one already adopted, sometime next year.
Okay, and this is important because we're also coming into the urban core with rail.
Yes, yes. So it's ideal. We've done, as you may know, 8 TOD plans. They center around what growth should look like as the rail comes into these host neighborhoods, as you will. There are 8 plans. We have covered 18 of the 20 stations, rail stations, so we have plans about growth and what should be the priority for growth in each of those stations, ranging from Pearl City, again, to Ala Moana Shopping Center Station. So they will dovetail very nicely with the overall regional plan for the area, which is the PCDP.
So the mail-out surveys, have you already sent those out?
Yes. And so we're now collating those results, and we had an amazing result. Normally, people are satisfied with a 5 or 10% return on a mail order questionnaire, but we've gotten over 25% return, so we have over 1,000 results. So that's quite amazing. We're very happy about that, which means that people are interested in the future of their communities.
Right, and you're really just trying to get that feedback and get a broad segment of the community to make sure that people say, oh, I didn't know about this.
Correct. So, and again, it you know, in this day and age, we are spending a lot of time with a vibrant, energizing website that will be dynamic and continue to update people on how the project is going along.
So if you happen to get one of these mail-out surveys, and let's say over the next year you think of something else, how do you get that feedback across?
We're also developing a very robust email list as well as address list, so we will keep people informed that way. I'm not sure that we have budgeted enough money because they're fairly costly to do a representative survey, but certainly as we get this list of people who already are self-committing to being interested in this project, that we will be tapping them through the mailing list.
You also plan to go out to the neighborhood boards. So do you expect the neighborhood boards to come up with, like, positions on some of these issues?
Certainly. We will keep them very much involved and notify them of the progress. It's been a little difficult. We were trying to get neighborhood board-specific venues, but that seemed to be a little more challenging. We have about 15 neighborhood boards in this region, so it's a very diverse group. So we're just engaging them as part of the general public, but we are keeping them definitely on our mailing list. They are already on our mailing list.
So as far as the plan for rail, and I know there's talk about the sea rise level and how that might affect the rail project.
The sea level rise, the climate change issue, is more than just how does it impact the rail system. And so we will be taking a broader look at it. As you know, if you've seen any of the maps the scientists have started to share with the general public, Waikiki will be severely challenged in the next coming decades, as well as downtown, the harbor areas. There will always be a larger context for discussions on sea level rise. And the other aspect of climate change, which people sometimes put on a secondary level, would be the increased or the differences in how our rain and our storm events are going to occur. It's been discussed that there may be less rainfall, but they will be coming in larger, more severe storms, which means our drainage supply and our drainage system will have to adjust to those things. Sea level rise is also beginning to intrude into our own drainage system, so you have salt water infusing upstream, so as it were. And so those things we have to discuss, even if you're not on the shoreline.
We did talk to the Army Corps of Engineers about the Alawai project, and I know they said that they got money included in the federal budget for a proposed flood control plan that involved putting up walls along the Alawai to protect not just Waikiki, but also the community on the other side of Kapi'olani Boulevard, which they pointed out was actually lower than the Waikiki side. And one point that they brought up was, you know, the money's going toward the capacity building of the Alawai. Whether the city and state want to talk about raising Alawai Boulevard and the surrounding park area is, you know, another question.
Yes, and so the primary urban center will, part of the job is to collect all of these separate initiatives and then put them into a regional context altogether and see if we can't come up with a cohesive strategy for the future. So it's not just about rail. It's not just about Alawai future. It's looking at the whole area holistically.
We talk about the housing crunch and there's the concern about the density with the monster houses and all of that. But is that all then a part of this plan, this blueprint?
I think in general terms, it's not going to be so detailed as to set up a policy, I don't think, for monster homes. But the whole issue of infill housing and the opportunities are tremendous in the primary urban center to do that. And based on the general plan, we should be adding more housing to the primary urban center. So how do we do that? That's one of the issues that we will be tackling in this project.
And there has been talk about building up along the rail route.
Amazingly, communities are ready for that. They are not opposing, on a NIMBY basis, additional housing in their neighborhoods. They just want it done right. So that's very gratifying. We've worked with all these communities to prepare them for the possible opportunities and impacts that the rail might bring to them. And I believe that we're beginning to have a firm foundation on looking at new growth in these rail station areas.
Now, you mentioned NIMBYs, you know, not in my backyard, folks, uh-huh. But I was also reading about, I think, YIMBYs, like, yes, in my backyard. There are folks that are going out and actually advocating for development in their areas.
Yes, that's great. And I think it's very gratifying as city planners to see communities take responsibility on their own initiative, not expect government to do all the take on the heavy load, but also they're willing to share in that load, and that's very gratifying. So if I could segue a little bit as an example, we just found out that Chinatown merchants are beginning to take a more of an interest in the homeless situation just as merchants, and not expecting government to do everything, but they're also doing their part in terms of telling the homeless where they can and cannot begin to camp and tent out in their community. So I think that's great.
That was Kathy Sokugawa, head of the Honolulu's Department of Planning and Permitting. I'll look for links to find out more about the plans at the Conversations Facebook page.